Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Globalizing Capital A History of the International Monetary System is a concise historical and analytical study of how international monetary arrangements have evolved from the 19th century gold standard to the more fluid exchange rate world of the present, written by economist Barry Eichengreen. The book is not a technical policy manual, but a broad interpretive history of global monetary regimes, their political constraints, and their links to capital mobility. Its central purpose is to explain why fixed exchange rate systems have repeatedly succeeded for a time, then broken down when domestic political pressures, capital flows, and international cooperation collided. The third edition updates the original framework with later developments such as the euro, Asian financial crises, and the growing debate over the dollar's future. Because it combines economic history, political economy, and institutional analysis, the book serves both specialists and general readers who want to understand why international money is governed so unevenly across different eras. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why domestic politics repeatedly undermine fixed exchange rates. A core argument of the book is that exchange rate stability is hardest to sustain when governments must respond to domestic political demands. Eichengreen treats the international monetary system as a political as well as an economic arrangement, showing that fixed or pegged rates often conflict with goals such as low unemployment, monetary stimulus, and financial stabilization. When those domestic goals become urgent, governments are likely to sacrifice exchange rate commitments rather than absorb the political costs of deflation or recession. This is one of the book's most important interpretive claims because it explains why monetary regimes do not fail only for technical reasons. They fail when the distribution of costs and benefits becomes politically intolerable. The result is a historically grounded critique of the idea that exchange rate rules can be insulated from democracy. Eichengreen does not suggest that fixed rates are impossible in all circumstances, but he shows that they are fragile unless political institutions strongly limit policy discretion or make the sacrifice of domestic objectives acceptable. Secondly, the changing relation between monetary regimes and capital mobility. Another major theme is the close connection between exchange rate systems and the degree of international capital mobility. Eichengreen traces how the gold standard operated in a world of relatively free cross-border capital flows. While the interwar period saw the rise of capital controls and severe disruption in international finance, Bretton Woods began with sanctioned controls that helped governments preserve policy autonomy, but those controls gradually weakened as international financial markets deepened. In the post-Bretton Woods era, highly mobile capital again became a defining force, limiting how far governments could manage exchange rates without sacrificing other policy goals. This historical sequence matters because it challenges simple theories that blame one factor alone for regime change. The book shows that capital mobility can either support or destabilize a system, depending on institutions, policy credibility, and political tolerance for adjustment. By placing exchange rate behavior alongside the evolution of financial markets, Eichengreen provides a structural explanation of why some regimes can endure only under particular financial conditions. Thirdly, from the gold standard to Bretton Woods, a history of international monetary compromise. The book presents international monetary history as a series of compromises between external stability and internal policy freedom. The classical gold standard is treated as a benchmark for fixed exchange rate discipline, but not as a timeless ideal. Its apparent stability depended on institutional arrangements, relatively open capital markets, and acceptance of adjustment costs. The interwar breakdown revealed how quickly that system could unravel when war, depression, and policy conflict undermined cooperation. Bretton Woods then emerged as a deliberate attempt to rebuild international monetary order while granting governments more room to pursue domestic economic management. Pegged but adjustable exchange rates, together with capital controls, were meant to reconcile stability with autonomy. Yet this compromise also weakened over time because rising financial integration made controls harder to maintain and adjustment politically more difficult. The book's historical narrative is therefore not a simple story of progress from bad to good systems, but of recurring attempts to balance incompatible goals. That framing gives the work its lasting value. It explains why monetary history consists of repeated redesigns rather than permanent solutions. Fourthly, the role of institutions, cooperation, and policy design in monetary stability. Eichengreen emphasizes that monetary regimes are not sustained by exchange rates alone. They require institutions that coordinate expectations, manage crises, and distribute adjustment burdens. The book discusses arrangements such as the IMF, the EPU, the BIS, and later European monetary cooperation as attempts to stabilize the system through rules, support mechanisms, and collective oversight. These institutions mattered because international monetary systems face a coordination problem. One country's policy shift can trigger pressure on others, especially when capital is mobile and confidence is fragile. However, the book is careful not to present institutions as omnipotent. They can slow collapse, but they cannot fully eliminate the conflict between domestic priorities and external commitments. This is especially visible in the transition away from Bretton Woods, where institutional support could not indefinitely offset the growing mismatch between fixed parities and liberalized finance. The broader lesson is that monetary cooperation works best when it is aligned with political incentives, not when it assumes away national interests. That makes the book especially strong as a study of policy design under constraints. Lastly, why the third edition matters: euro, crises, and the future of the dollar. The third edition extends the original historical analysis into more recent developments, showing how the book's framework applies beyond the 20th century. It addresses the Asian financial crisis, the emergence of the euro, renewed debate over the international role of the dollar, and later controversies about currency tensions in a globalized financial system. These additions are important because they demonstrate that the core logic of the book remains relevant in a world where formal exchange rate pegs are less common but monetary. Interdependence is stronger than ever. The euro illustrates both the appeal and difficulty of monetary union, since it removes exchange rate uncertainty inside Europe while requiring significant institutional discipline. The discussion of the dollar highlights how reserve currencies depend not only on economic scale, but also on confidence in policy and financial depth. By updating the historical account, Eichengreen turns the book into more than a retrospective history. It becomes a framework for interpreting current debates about monetary sovereignty, regional integration, and global financial leadership. In conclusion, Globalizing Capital is best suited to readers who want a serious but accessible explanation of how the international monetary system has evolved and why it remains politically constrained. Economists will value its historical interpretation of exchange rate regimes, while historians and political scientists will appreciate its emphasis on institutions, domestic politics, and international cooperation. Policy readers, especially those interested in central banking, exchange rates, and financial globalization, will find it useful for understanding why no monetary regime solves every problem at once. What sets the book apart from more specialized studies is its combination of breadth and clarity. It does not get lost in technical modeling, but it also avoids treating monetary history as a simple sequence of policy failures. Instead, it shows how changing capital markets, democratic pressures, and institutional design repeatedly reshape the options available to governments. That makes the book intellectually useful in two ways: it clarifies the past and provides a durable framework for thinking about contemporary debates over fixed exchange rates, currency unions, capital controls, and the role of the dollar. Among books on international monetary history, it stands out for being both concise and structurally ambitious. If you would like to support Barry Eichengreen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.